What a joy to worship the Lord with God's people. We continue our little series, Life Begins at the Cross. And today we're going to read from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And it's the story of Jesus going into Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." I think you'll agree with me if I said that every day we are confronted by choices. From the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed. Some of them really easy, small choices. Am I going to have breakfast or am I not going to have breakfast? Will I take a shower before I go to bed or am I going to take a shower tomorrow morning? Little choices. But some of them are not so little. Some of them are not so easy. And every choice we make, we know that there will be a consequence to the choice. Sometimes the choices come one by one. Oftentimes, they'll just bombard you, and it makes it so, so difficult to make the choices. It's a delightful little story, and I might have told it before. Forgive me. I'm a dinosaur now, so sometimes I forget. Of the husband and wife who wanted to celebrate their anniversary, they went for a beautiful romantic dinner. So they got to the restaurant, and the server comes and he says, "Can I seat you?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Where would you like to sit? Would you like to sit at the window? Or would you like to sit at the back of the restaurant? Would you like to sit maybe in the middle of the restaurant? Would you like to sit on the patio?" So they made a choice. They sat down. As they sit down, he says, "Could I bring you some water?" They said, "Yes, please." He said, "What kind of water would you like? Would you like tap water? Would you like fridge water? Would you like water with ice? Would you like sparkling water? Would you like water with lemon?" By now, this romantic evening is getting a little less romantic. So he brings the water. He says, "You ready to order?" "Yes, we'd like steak and potatoes." He says, "Oh, that's good. What kind of potatoes would you like? Would you like mashed potatoes? Would you like baked potatoes? Would you like fries? Would you like sweet potato fries?" By now, the husband has had it with this guy. So he gets up and he looks at the waiter and he says to him, "Do you want to fight?" The guy says, "Sure. Where would you like to fight? In the restaurant, outside?" Choices. But let's be a little more serious. Some of the choices we have to make are defining choices. They will define my life forever. Some of the defining choices that I make will define who I will be for the rest of my life, what kind of person I will be, how I will be that person. Some of these defining choices will define the kind of life that I will live, the one life that God gave me. choices, but defining choices. And I would like to say that I think that every year when we get to this day called Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday, and remember, Jesus didn't know this word, Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. We made it up. This is a choice that Jesus made to go into Jerusalem. But when we get to this Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, I think it's one of those defining choices moments. I'll explain in a second. When Jesus comes to Bethphage on his way to Jerusalem, he has to make a choice. His choice is this: I can turn around, I can go back to Galilee, and I can go live my life and do whatever I need to do there. Or I can choose to go into Jerusalem. But the moment Jesus chooses to go into Jerusalem, it is a choice to die. It is a choice that he knows will take him through the gates. And he knows the hosannas will change into jeers of crucify. He knows it's a choice that will take him to Pilate and to the court of injustice. He knows it's a choice that will take him to a place where they will rip his whole body open, hurting him for us. He knows it's a choice that will make him sweat blood in Gethsemane before his Father. He knows it's a choice that will lead to one place, and that's a cross on Calvary where he will die. And Jesus needs to make a choice, and Jesus makes a defining choice when he gets on that donkey and he rides into Jerusalem. And the choice he makes is to say, I will be the Messiah. Because you remember, we started this series with the Messiah. I will be the one. I will make this choice, because here's the thing. Zechariah spoke about it, that there would be a Messiah that will come. Messiah who is the anointed one, who is the one that will love, that will care, that will take care. And the moment Jesus gets on the donkey and rides into Jerusalem, it's not to hear the crowd sing Hosanna. It's not to see them waving the palm branches. It's to say, I have made a defining choice for me, but a defining choice for this world. Because let me explain this. In the beginning, when God created this world, God created this amazing place. And then God created human beings. And he said to these human beings, this is yours. Enjoy. Take care. The Hebrew is so beautiful. He uses the word shamar, which means to protect. It's like building a wall around to protect. He says, protect this. It's yours. Take care of it. And he allowed them to make choices. And if you go read the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you'll see that they made defining choices that were all wrong. Because the first choice they made was to choose against God's will. Don't eat, we'll eat. And that was a defining choice. Because in the moment they made that choice, this beautiful world that God created for joy, where we would have fellowship with God, open fellowship, he walked in the garden. We would have this open fellowship. Husband and wife walked around. They wore no clothes. An image of that intimate relationship where there's nothing that stands between. All of a sudden, in that moment of that choice, all of this is broken. That beautiful love song, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, becomes the woman you gave me. That beautiful relationship of God walking in the garden becomes, Adam, where are you? Why are you hiding? Defining choices. And this beautiful world started dying. And we started dying. So God makes a choice. And he calls a people. He calls a people so that they can be a blessing to the people of the earth. He calls a people so that they can be a healing balm to the nations of this world. And the people, no, remember, it's not for them. It's not because they're so wonderful. It's because God wanted to use them as an instrument. But the instrument failed miserably. And they made choices that were not choices for God. And the nations did not know God. And the nations did not see God. And they turned their back on God. And then the prophet started singing a new song. They were singing about a servant that would come. And they were saying the servant would be so different. The servant would not want to be a king. The servant would want to be a healer. One who would come to reconcile that which was broken and bring in a new relationship. This Messiah would come and bring restoration to that which was broken down. This Messiah would bring healing to hearts that were yearning and were broken and were dead, and he would mend and give new life. In the moment, Jesus got on that donkey and he rode into Jerusalem, he made that choice to be that Messiah. For without that choice, there was nothing left for us. Without that choice, we were stuck with a choice in Genesis 2 and 3. So here's the thing. On Palm Sunday, I think we are confronted with two choices. Choice number one. When God sent his son into this world, it was to start his restoration mission, his rescue mission into this world. The first choice is this one. Will you allow God's rescue mission that came into this world through Jesus Christ, his son? Will you allow God's rescue mission into your own life? In other words, will you allow Jesus to be the king of your life with all that would entail and ask? Because you understand, my friends, when Jesus came into the world, Jesus established God's rescue mission. But he also asked us to allow that rescue mission to come into our hearts. That's why he got on that donkey. That's why he rode into Jerusalem. It's to say, I'd like you to make a choice. Will you choose me to be the king? Will you choose me to take your life and make that life what God wants it to be? But it's a defining choice. Because in the moment I say, Jesus, come be the king. Do you understand that that's the moment that I vacate the seat? And I say, Lord, my life needs to be under new management. And I am not the CEO of this life anymore. Because I'm going to make the wrong choices. Will you, Jesus, come sit the throne of my heart? It's a choice. But I'm going to say, Jesus, some days it's going to be so hard that I don't know if I can do this. But if you pick me up and you carry me and you walk with me, I'll walk with you and I'll go with you. And sometimes the choices will be hard and difficult, but if you want that, then I'll go with you. Are you prepared to do that? Many of you have been sitting in this church for years. Some of you are brand new to this church, but maybe you've sat somewhere else. And you've heard the word so many times. But can I ask you this morning? Have you made that choice? To make him the king? For to be a Christ follower is to give it all up and allow him to come in and to follow wherever he leads. So I'm going to give you a moment in time today to make a choice. Will you choose today to choose Jesus with all of what it asks? Please close your eyes. As you sit with your eyes closed, it's you and Jesus. That's it. And maybe you've walked with him all your life. Maybe this is a moment in which you can recommit and say, Jesus, as you made that choice to go into Jerusalem knowing full well what was waiting, I make this choice today to choose you with all that that would ask. Maybe you have never made this choice. And here's a moment. If you want to make this choice, this is a moment to do this right now. And you don't have to put up your hand. You can just do that in your mind. You want to reach out your hand to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to make this choice that will define my life forever. Take a moment and do that as I pray with you. You chose to go into Jerusalem, Jesus. You chose the nails for us. And this morning, Lord, in this quiet moment, just as I am, I come before your throne. And I want to choose you, Jesus. Be the Lord and the King and the Master of my heart. Thank you that you chose me when you went to the cross. Thank you that you choose me every day when you stand in the presence of my Father. Thank you that I may say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Hear our prayer as we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. But there is a second choice that Palm Sunday places before us. Not only is God prepared to come and bring his rescue mission into my life, but when I choose for Jesus, I become a Christ follower. And you know what that means? That doesn't mean that all I live for is to go to heaven one day when I die, because that's a pie in the sky. When I choose for Jesus, I choose to live my life as part of that rescue mission so that heaven will come into earth in and through me and who I am and how I live in Christ Jesus. For Jesus established the rescue mission, but we are the agents of God's rescue mission. We are the ones who are called to bring the reconciliation where there is no reconciliation. We are the ones who are called to bring the healing when the nations need a healing balm. We are the ones to shine the light when there's darkness all around us, and the light of Christ shines through us and chases away the darkness. We are the ones who are called that in the moment I said, Jesus, you are in control. That's the moment I say, so Jesus, where do you need me and what do you need from me? That's the second choice. It's not a choice to sit back and watch. It's a choice to be part of God's team that works and lives in this world and bring people to understand the choice that they can make in Jesus Christ and see Him and know Him and change the world. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine, Heinrich Barnard, good guy. He works for the South African Bible Society now, studied together. And interesting young man. He's a day older than me. And Heinrich and I spoke a little bit, and he told me about an amazing thing that happened. There's this family, really wonderful, well-off, affluent family. But they sold out to Christ. And they decided in their church that they wanted to start some new missions to take care of people who are struggling. And they went to a little place in South Africa called the Transkei. Very poor area. People suffer and struggle. And they decided, a few of the families in the church decided they were going to live with these folks so that they get a first-hand knowledge of what these people need. Because, you know, it's easy for us to say, oh, well, we know what they need. No, we don't know what people need until you walk a mile in their shoes. Then you get it. So they decided to go walk a mile in their shoes and live for a whole month with these families. They ended up with a family of three. An 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 16-year-old. She was the head of her family because her mother and father had both died, and she was taking care of her two siblings. 16-year-old girl. As they were sitting, they saw there was a little certificate of merit that was on the wall for this young girl's father. And so they asked her about that, and she said, well, it's supposed to be a certificate that would give us some money for the work that Dad did, but I've been trying to get this money for years and years, and I haven't been able. She says, you know, I'll go to the payphone, because they don't all have money for cell phones and stuff. But I don't have enough, because they put me on hold, and you have to put in money all the time, and then it cuts me off, and then I'm done. So I haven't been able to get through to them at all. Touch this man's heart. When they got back from their month, he got on the phone to this company. Found out after 11 calls, got to the HR department at last. Took him weeks. But he was not going to let this go. Found out that they owed this family something like 45,000 Canadian dollars, if you put it into our money. Friends, that's life-changing. Like you would not understand for those people. So he said, that's wonderful. We're going to do all of this. When can we get this? They said, well, it's going to take 18 to 24 months. And this guy said, no way. By then, this family might be dead. That's not going to happen. You're going to make this happen. And he made it happen. A week later, he had that money for them. Never made the headlines. Never made the papers. Because that's not what's needed. The choice is, will I become part of God's rescue mission in this world? And will I make the choice to do what God wants me to do and go where God wants me to go? And if I need to make 12, 13, 14, 15 telephone calls to make it happen and jump on someone's neck a little bit to make it happen, I will make it happen, because that's what the rescue mission looks like. And that's what happened when Jesus came into this world, because my life was changed and He needs me to change this world. And that's the choice. I don't know how it's going to look like for you. I don't know what God's going to ask of you. Sometimes He asks itsy bitsy little things. Sometimes He asks you to do huge things which scare the living daylights out of you. But whatever it might be, will you make the choice? Because it will define your life forever. It can be a silly little thing like a phone call. Hey, Gary and Joan, we're so happy for that little baby that came into your lives. God bless you. Might be me looking at my job where I work and realizing that our HR policy is not good, and it's not doing good things for the people who work there. And it becomes my task to make a choice to change that. It might be as simple as knowing that Brother George is all alone at home, has no children or family, has his dog. And I'm going to knock on George's door and say, "Hey, George, come to Tim Hortons with me. I'm going to buy you a soup and a sandwich this afternoon." Might be much bigger than that. Might be that God calls you to Europe, to Africa, to Russia, to Finland, you name it. He says, "I got some work for you to do." Defining choices. And all I can say is, when God does that, it's not always that easy, but I've learned to say, "I'm up for it, Lord. You got a plan? I'm the man for the plan. But here's the thing, I can't do it. Thank you that you're going to do it. Because on my own, I can never do that. But I'm up for your plan, Lord." So my prayer for you this day on this Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, that as God puts the choices before you, that you will know what to say when God says, "This is it. Will you be part of my rescue mission? Thank you, Jesus, for getting on that donkey and saying yes." Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer.